This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It'll affect livelihoods, corporate profits and losses, and the environment across at least a quarter of the globe, and the deadline in Hawaii is today. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. What could be the final round of negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, could conclude today. This is the sweeping trade deal the Obama administration wants to finalize before the president leaves office. Negotiators and lobbyists from the U.S., Japan, Canada, and nine other countries in this deal have spent the last few days in Hawaii trying to play out some kind of end game. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson is there following the negotiations in Maui. Hey, Tracy.
Hi, David.
So how does it look from your perspective? Are they really going to wrap this thing up by today as planned?
We know trade ministers worked late into the night Thursday, and they'll be back at it this morning trying to wrap up the remaining issues. But the nature of these deals is that it's always the toughest issues that remain at the end. And all it takes is for one of those sticky issues to get stuck, and that could stretch the negotiations out longer.
All right. So what might be sticking?
These deals are negotiated in private with trade ministers locked away in air-conditioned conference rooms all day. So we don't know exactly where they are in the negotiations and how much they have left to go. But that said, dairy, sugar, and patents for certain kinds of drugs have seemed to be sticking points. Each country has different industries that it wants to protect. And for the U.S., one of those industries is sugar. For Canada, it's dairy. That's been a really big one. The drug issue has also been a sticking point. The U.S. started out pushing for 12 years of exclusivity for a drug class called biologics, arguing that you need these lockup periods to spur companies to create new drugs. Another issue may be how countries treat their state-owned enterprises. WikiLeaks released a document about that the other day that got people talking, even though the document was, you know, over a year old. So those are some of the issues, by no means all.
Now, if somehow they do reach an agreement today, it will conclude 5 years of negotiations. Critics who say this will hurt American jobs and represent a loss of authority of U.S. courts, for instance, will be incensed. But what is the mood there?
I have to say, it's pretty strange to think about the size of this deal, the stakes of this agreement from a Hawaiian resort. There's something very surreal about that. And I think at this point, everyone's just a bit tired, the negotiators, the advisors, the industry groups. But at the same time, there's also this sense that this thing is down to the wire, that these are the final days, the final hours to try and have a say, to try and change it. The other day, I saw a guy from a trade group approach one of the delegates in line at the Starbucks at the hotel. He was trying to chat him up, asking him how the negotiations were going. David, it was every bit as awkward as one of those bad pickup scenes in a bar. The delegate was carrying this binder. He looked so fried. He just kept shaking his head, no, no, no.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson from her hardship assignment on Maui. Thank you, Tracy.
Thanks, David.
There's word today of indictments in Japan's Fukushima nuclear disaster, which followed the tsunami and flood of 2011. Three executives of the Tokyo Electric Power Company still may not face charges under the Japanese system, but they will be compelled to give evidence in court. The three include the company's former chairman. Critics say the company failed to properly bolster the plant to withstand a tidal wave. For those of you rooting for Almaty, Kazakhstan to host the Winter Olympics in 7 years, sorry.
Beijing.
Beijing. The announcement in the last hour in Malaysia, where Olympic officials had to run the balloting twice, the second time using paper and pen after the electronic system messed up. BBC sports reporter Alex Capstick is in Kuala Lumpur as China's bid emerged victorious.
It was always expected. They lent heavily, actually, on their successful hosting of the Summer Games in 2008. And the IOC, who are generally a conservative lot, wanted something that they could trust. And that's what they went for, Beijing.
Now, with most of these venues, they're typically concerned about snow. When it comes to the Chinese capital, one worries about pollution. But what's this about the distance between venues?
You've got the main Olympic Park, which is where they held the Summer Games. You've also got those other stadiums around there in the main Olympic Park. But then a long way north, more than 200 kilometres, will be the Alpine Ski Event. They're going to build a rail track that will take you from Beijing to those areas. So it's going to be quite difficult to get around time-wise anyway. And you contrast that with the Almaty bid, where it's all within the city, within 30 kilometres of the city centre. But that perceived problem certainly wasn't enough to dissuade any of the voters who went for Beijing.
Now, Russia spent over $50 billion on the last Winter Games, the ones in Sochi. Are these expected to be quite pricey?
We never know, really, how much they're going to cost. They do have quite a lot to build, unlike the Almaty bid. Although whether it costs in excess of $50 billion, we don't know yet. The rail track I talked about, that's going to cost around $5.5 billion in itself. So it is going to be comparatively pricey. And, you know, the cost was what put a lot of the European cities off that were thinking of bidding, that actually joined the race early on, that dropped out. They didn't want the cost. They were certainly spooked by that $50 billion tag attached to Sochi.
The BBC's Alex Capstick in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Alex, thank you.
You're welcome.
And 14 minutes ago, a second full moon of the calendar month became visible in the United States. There won't be another blue moon until 2018. There are plenty of business cliches that describe what you're supposed to do on a blue moon. Get out of your comfort zone, push the envelope. What's the line? Do it scared. So if you will risk something interesting today, what will it be? It still came out like a cheesy motivational poster, sorry. But positive risk today is the point. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.